Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study from Roland Springs Baptist Church, and our study is in the book of Hebrews, and we are on lesson 4 today. And this is still a kind of review, but we are starting today on chapter 1. And in this study today, we'll be referring to a lot of scripture in the Old Testament. So we won't read all of it, but I will give you the scripture and you can write it down. And I will try to explain what the scripture is saying that refers back to what we're studying in chapter 1 of Hebrews. So let us start our study now with chapter 1 by prayer. Father, again we come to you. Father, just before your very feet to learn of you, to know you more, to understand your word, and to know Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Oh, Father, we just want to completely surrender ourselves to you that you may teach us your precious word, Father. And I just pray now that the Holy Spirit will lead, guide, and direct as we study together, and bless each one that has come. And I ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, you know, we have been doing a lot of observation, but we want to understand that the observation is the key that unlocks the meaning of the text. So through observation, we not only get the foundation of the entire book, but we can build upon that foundation an accurate interpretation. So, you know, when you study, there are three terms that we use about this method of study of precept upon precept. It's the observation, and it's the interpretation, and then the application. So that's what we want to be doing now as we're studying this precious book that is written down for us. And it was written at that time for the Hebrews. So we want to look at this in the eyes of Jesus. We want to be able to know Jesus more, that we will be able to see him. The title of this study is, Oh, That We Would See Jesus. So that's what we're looking for now as we're studying this fourth lesson. We're going to be looking at the word that we may truly see Jesus as the one and only Savior, and that through him only can we have salvation. So we're looking today at the deity of Jesus and also of the term firstborn, that he is the firstborn. And that's what we're going to talk about today as we study these verses in chapter 1. First of all, I will read these first four verses of chapter 1. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature and upholds all things by the word of his power, when he had made purifications of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on the high, having become as much better than the angels, as he has inherited a more excellent name than they. So, there's going to be a good bit of scripture that we will refer to that goes back to the Old Testament, but it's going to help us to understand more about the deity of Jesus and about him being the firstborn. Now, in these first verses, we learn that Jesus is the Son of God. And also, we learn that God appointed his Son heir over all things. And he made the world through the Son. And the Son is the radiance of God's glory. And also, we learn in these verses that he is the exact representation of God's nature. And we learned that the Son is seated at the Majesty's right hand. And also, we learned that God the Father begot the Son, the firstborn. And then, going to verse 8, we learn that God said that the Son of God, that the Son is God. And in verse 10, he says, or he calls the Son Lord. So, what does or what did the Son do according to Hebrews 1? We learned in this entire chapter of Hebrews verse 1 that he made the world and he upholds all things and he made purification or the cleansing of sins, and then he sat down. But he'll come again into the world and rule in righteousness forever. So, the other passages that we're looking at, I won't be reading all of these passages, but I want to give them to you that you can write them down. And I'm going to try to explain what the passage says as I give you the scriptures. First of all, look at Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. And then also Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Now, what these verses in Isaiah are saying is that when God commissioned Isaiah, a prophet who spoke God's word to Israel, he again used the plural to refer to himself. In these chapters, God is using the plural, referring to him, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, another scripture that's in the New Testament is Matthew chapter 1, verse 22 through 23. And in these verses, Matthew tells us that Jesus fulfilled the prophecy that a son named Emmanuel, which means God with us, would come from a virgin. So, also, the Son was called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Priests. So, These prophets spoke to the fathers that God was going to come in the form of a son. Jesus would be that son, and he would be fully God. Now, there's some scripture we find in the book of John, chapter 1, chapter 8, chapter 10, chapter 14, and chapter 20. And what all of these verses in John are saying is that God, in these last days, has spoken to us in his Son, just as he spoke in this book of Hebrews. And the Word was with God and was God. We find that in John 1, verses 1 through 3. And then we also learned that the Word became flesh. And Jesus said himself, before Abraham was born, I am. In other words, he is saying that he was in the beginning with God. And then if you jot these verses down, in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14 through 15, in the Old Testament, it tells us that God's name is I Am. So Jesus is calling himself I Am. He is saying that I am God. Jesus said that he is God and that he and the Father are one. So he's also saying that those who refuse to believe, they will die in their sins. And he's saying, hear my voice. Pay attention and don't refuse me who is speaking. So in John 14, verses 9 through 11, Jesus said that if anyone sees him, then that one has seen the Father. So all through these scriptures, all the way back to the Old Testament and the New Testament, we see that God, that Jesus is God, that they are one, they are a Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the scriptures verify this. Now look at the New Testament in the book of Colossians, Colossians 1, verse 15 through 18. We see here that Paul wrote that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. We have seen him, we have seen the Father. And that's what he is saying in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, that if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Now, going to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 11. Paul also wrote that Jesus existed in the form or the shape or the nature of God and was made in the likeness of men to be obedient to the point of death on the cross. So we learn in these verses that God exalted him to his right hand so that all will bow at his name. He is Lord, Master of all. Now, keep in mind as we're doing this study here now in this first chapter, and we're using Old Testament and New Testament to intertwine or bring together the deity of Christ. That's what we're studying today, is that's what we want to see in these 13 verses of chapter 1 of the deity of Christ, because we're going to study more in chapter 1 as we go forward. But today we're looking mainly to the deity of Christ, and we're using all of the scripture to show that. Now, when you go to verses 5 and 6, we begin to see what it tells us about Jesus being the firstborn. And I'm going to read these verses. This is Hebrews 1, verses 5 through 6. For to which of the angels did he say, Thou art my son? Today I have begotten thee. And again, I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. And when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, And let all the angels of God worship him. So, now then, what are we looking at? What does the word firstborn mean? It means the first, or to bear forth. To bear forth. It literally means born first or preeminent. Okay? So what does that mean? Jesus created all things and has always existed as God. So this term cannot refer to his being born into existence as a created being. So what he's saying is that at the very beginning of time, whenever God and Jesus created the earth, that is not saying that he was born then as being the firstborn. The firstborn son is used in the Old Testament as a reference to the son who is to be over the family when the father dies. And so we know that's not referring to him being firstborn in the creation, because the Father is eternal, without beginning and without end. And if you look that up, it's in Exodus 13, verse 2 and verse 15. So the firstborn son is the one who has preeminence in the family. He is more or less next in line after the Father. Therefore, Jesus, because he became a man, is the firstborn of God. It was whenever he took on the flesh of a man that Jesus became the firstborn of God. Although he is also God himself. Now, our minds are not God, and we can't understand all of this through our mind, but we want to look at it through the eyes of Jesus so that we will be able to understand. If you want to use some reference here about him being the firstborn and being God also, let me give you some scripture. Genesis 49, verse 3. Psalms 78, verse 51. Exodus chapter 13, verse 2 and verse 15. Now, let's look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. It also says that he, Jesus, is the firstborn of the dead. And Romans chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 speaks also of this, of him being the firstborn of the dead. Jesus holds the preeminence of those raised from the dead. That's what it means, that Jesus was the first raised. So he holds preeminence because God raised him. He was in the flesh, and he died for our sins, and God raised him. So he is the firstborn of the dead. He was raised from the dead. So what else, or where else, do we find some concordance on this, looking at Psalms chapter 2, verse 7. This text tells us that it's also in the text from which the author of Hebrews quoted in verse 5 of Hebrews. It was spoken to the fathers by God that he was a son. Now also you can look at Acts chapter 13, verse 16 through 39. Paul preached to some men of Israel, Jews at this time, in Antioch. And as he explained part of Israel's history and the history of the gospel up to that time, he spoke of Jesus in the context of his resurrection after the cross. And he quoted this statement from Psalms 2 that I had just mentioned. So I want you to think about what we're doing now as we're going through these verses. We are feeding on the very meat of the Word. When you start getting into the context and you start looking at all the scriptures, you're not feeding on milk anymore, but you're feeding on the very depths of the Word of God, which is the meat of God. So I'm not reading all of these scriptures that we're using as concordance or reference to because the time doesn't allow it. But we're going to go forward now, and we're going to read in chapter 1 of Hebrews. We're going to read from chapter 6, and we're going to look some more at some references. But I'm not going to go through all of these, but I will read chapter 6, and I'm going to give you a comparison of the Old Testament that you can look up later on these. In verse 6 of Hebrews 1, "And when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, 'And let all the angels of God worship him.'" So you can find a reference of that in Psalms 97, verse 7. And also, now let's go to verses 8 and 9. "But the Son says, 'Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the righteous scepter is the scepter of his kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore God, thy God, hath appointed thee," speaking of Jesus, "with the oil of gladness above thy companions." And you can find a reference to that in Psalms 45, 6 and 7. Okay, now going back to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 10 and 12. Verse 10, "Thy Lord in the beginning didst lay the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They will perish, but thou remainest, and they all will become old as a garment. And as a mantle thou wilt roll them up, as a garment they will also be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years will not come to an end." And the comparison that you can use from the Old Testament is Psalms 102, verses 24 through 27. Now I'm going to go on to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13. And 14. "But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies a footstool for thy feet. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? Now the reference that you can look in the Old Testament to these verses is Psalms 110, verse 1, and Acts chapter 2, verse 32 through 36. So now we have learned about the deity and about the firstborn in this chapter 1. So we should have learned more by learning the deity of Christ. The deity of Christ is that he is God. And we want to apply this to our minds as we study through the book of Hebrews. And that's what the book of Hebrews is about. It's showing us that Jesus is God, that is his deity. And all the deity of him we'll study throughout this entire study in the book of Hebrews. So how can we, as we learn this, how can it affect our relationship with Jesus? If we know him more, how can that affect our relationship to him? That's a question that we all want to ask ourselves as we begin this study. We want our relationship to be more and more to conform us to be like him. So we have to know what he is like that we may be conformed. Now let us close this fourth lesson of Hebrews with prayer. Father, thank you again for your precious word. Thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for those that wrote down or penned down your word through you, through your very finger, Father. And we just pray, Father, that you will teach us, that we will learn more and more about Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Father, we don't want to stop at salvation, but we want to be obedient to you and to your word, and we want to know you more. We want to know Jesus, your precious Son. And I just pray now that you will lead and guide and direct each one as we come before your throne each time to know you more, Father, and to see Jesus in all of his deity, that we may give you honor and glory and praise. And we ask it all in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.